that they really like. They can't put their finger on it. And but I can, you know, I grew up with it. I was describing you, well, you know, John Lamberton and people like that who just, they're the living part of that.
And Harry Smith.
Yeah, and Harry Smith, who are the, and I should say, you know, all the community of Waitsfield, I mean, having gone into the school systems and things like that, it's just the living aspect of that. And then when you see the physical, you can pinpoint it, you can say it. I mean, I some of my work involves that I, you know, working with the land, it's kind of a landscape, would be described as landscaping. And I know I'm really influenced with that. And when I see people using land, I really draw on that a lot. And because I know that's what people want. And I guess I lean towards naturalistic landscape as well. But that's, I know that influenced me a lot, that the rural agricultural and the culture that you found here and the values those people had.
Yeah, well, the whole matter of the project has been a fascinating one for me, and probably in that regard, I might ask you a little bit more. We were talking when I first came about how your older brother took over the dairy, your older and your younger brother, and you branched out into a sawmill, and another one did the plants,
Greenhouse,
the
yeah.
greenhouse. But that's interesting to me because it's all one of the things that you realize is how diversified farming has to be to survive. And many of these farms and farmers were diversified in terms of lumbering and sugaring and cows and potatoes and, you know, a diverse number of things. And it interests me that your family has gone that way.
Well, I'm not sure. I think my mother had, and my father. I mean, my father started. There were probably four sugar houses on the property, or five, on the Stowe properties, and he started sugaring there. That's he already had that. I think we somehow followed in his footsteps in a way.
So you still sugar here?
My brother does. He and I started, we sort of swept the cobwebs out of it, and this was a number of years ago, and since then he has kept it up with his, you know, my younger brother, and now he does it by himself with help. But that sugar house was there originally, and in 57, just before my father bought this farm, there was a sugar bush here, around here, and it was cut off in sort of a desperate moment for some capital. And so most of the sap is brought in here. But that was, I was saying that my father did some of that in Stowe, and that was the, he did it more as a hobby than anything. And Martin and I did too. We started, and he helped us out with the equipment that needed to be replaced and everything. So the thing that economically this place just was not big enough or viable enough for any for three or even four people with families, and that was something we knew was coming up, and I decided to branch out into the forestry thing. I had a real strong interest in horses, and had worked with horses a lot. And ended up shoeing horses. That's one thing that I really enjoy doing. I do it now still, but it's more of a hobby than anything. I mean, it's just an interest that draws me to it. And I did that in Stowe as well, because we always had horses up there that I tried, you know, very hard to use them for agricultural purposes, not just recreational purposes. And that was generally the management's view, but it never really amounted to as much as I wanted to. So I don't know, and I ended up with sort of a real, in fact, when I was excavating here, I found an old horseshoe and and the irons for a turning hook. And those two, I don't know, it was kind of a funny thing because I'd been shoeing and at the time, and I was starting this little venture here, and it was a way to utilize what was here, but also expand a little bit beyond so that it would be viable enough for sort of independent operations. And I think my father encouraged us to be independent too, just like he had to from when he left Stowe. And so it was a difficult time when things were sorting out, because you know there's limited real estate, and we all had different needs. So
well, it sounds like though that the next generation has really congregated, your generation, your siblings and so forth, family have congregated in a sense. I mean, the main congregation is around this area.
Well, I'd have to say that, because there are three of us brothers that are right here, and my parents do live nearby. They had an option of buying a place that was near enough, and my sister also lives in town here. So
back to the beginning again, when we were talking about Christmas and the way you remembered celebrating it and the way you now do it with your kids, is there any of the sort of the vestigial stuff that you did with your family that you carry on as tradition?
Well, it's been a little...
It's a more difficult situation.
It is. It definitely is. I think, fortunately, my parents live here, and in that respect, I kind of rely on them a little bit for the exposure that they get, and it's a help, because I do want them to see what it was like for me, and I always tell them about it, and they're all you know, they're very keen and interested about it.
And I suppose also I should ask you about the religion, because that was such a strong part of the Austrian part of your family, and then has that...
The religion, was something that I know for myself, growing up, I recognized it as more of a political thing than anything else. Not that I don't have, you know, spiritual beliefs and everything, but I felt very manipulated by it. And I mean you know, having spent a year in Austria, it was crystal clear to me. This was in 73 when I spent a year there. And it's something that I steer away from. And I also want my children to understand both sides. And it's very hard to know where to go, you know, to show them, but I do make an effort to show them and have them understand. But I certainly, you know, Europe, you know, when you go there, I mean, the cathedrals and the fanfare that's involved, and every social aspect has just an extremely strong and evident aspect of the religion, and you just can't get away from it. Where in this, you know, in the States here, it's more of a matter of choice. You almost don't have a choice over there, and that's something I don't think is necessarily good. I don't know. It just didn't work for me. I guess I'll say it that way. And I certainly wouldn't force it on my children. But I do want them to you know, really understand it and respect it. I really do. That to me is more important than anything else. And they can decide from there, because it's too much of something to just have them take a ridiculing or a to think of it as insignificant.
So I guess really to wrap up, along with family values and so forth, and what is it of your heritage that you most want to pass on to your children?
As I said before, I never met my grandfather, but I think it's a little bit hard to explain in a few words, but I feel like in many ways we're coming to a crossroads globally, and I think in similar ways, my kids, I think, will be right at the junction. I mean, at the decision to turn one way or the other. And my grandfather, I think, made the turn, which was difficult, and he knew it was the right thing. I know that, and so did my aunt explained to me when they had a meeting about this whole thing. And they knew it was the right thing. There was no objection from anyone. And I think it's almost that right there is probably what those kids are going to have to decide on. And I really want to do it in a way so that they understand it's the right way. I realize myself I have to do this almost daily in things regarding just the well-being of humanity, I'd have to say. It's just coming down to that. The environment, conservation, just the survival, you know, as the quality and the survival of humanity. It sounds pretty grim, but I think it's really true, and those are some of the decisions that I know I want them to weigh on their own. I think my most important function would be to make them aware of what's involved, not to force them or tell them or even direct them. I want them free and willingly to come to that conclusion and know that that's the right thing.
To make a decision, you mean, as to which direction to go in life, where
yeah.
to live, what to do? That.
Yes, but I mean, I feel it's not as simple as that. I think what has to be done is stock taken on a global basis. And that what they do, that they have an absolute positive impact, not to survive. You know, I think they can do a lot better than that, and that they can contribute in some way that will really stand out. And there's even, you know, I'm only 39, whatever, but I think they have such a fresh and open mind that I think they need that same kind of a thing where they don't have a bias when they look and scope out the situation, and they absorb all the positive aspects in order to, when they mature or whatever, that they can function and work back with that knowledge of all these diversified things that they need to deal with. And I think it's really important that they decide the right thing, that what they do and what they sacrifice is worth the effort. And I just know that, you know, we as firstly Americans are going to, we're definitely going to have to sacrifice something, you know, that the ante's going up day by day. And, you know, I don't know, that's I think probably the most important thing. And then the second thing I really would want them, in more of a traditional sense maybe, is to treat where they grew up, and I hope they grow up, you know, I'll be here, so I hope they're, you know, with me, but that they treat this place the same way, that they really, because they, I think they have, you know, I really believe in the, that saying, think globally and act locally. And I think that's really important, that they see that. And in this homogenized world, I think it's more important than ever. It's something I feel people are overlooking. It's so very easy to say, well, I'll move over here because it's a little bit nicer, but it's hard to contribute if you don't really have roots somewhere. And I don't mean that people can't travel and explore and experience other things, but somewhere the line has to be drawn to the responsibility that you have to a given place that you have more control over or can help the destiny of, you know? So I think those are probably the two things. It's hard to describe quickly.
Well,
but...